Ajinkya Rahane and Kane Williamson were the skippers, of course, who were involved in that thrilling and nail-biting test draw, which, completed last night in strange light, strange conditions, and India went from winning it to losing it to drawing it to winning it to drawing it. Here is Rahane and Williamson post-match.
I tried my best. I thought it was a very good game of cricket. They played really well throughout the game, but I thought the way we came back in second innings after second session was really good. Our bowlers bowled really well, fast bowlers especially in second innings. Umesh and Ishan bowled well. Spinners, we all know, they all are quality bowlers. They bowled really well, so I thought, yes, it was a good game of cricket.
All in all, it was a fantastic game of cricket, and obviously the Indian side's a formidable one, and they are on top for large parts of this game. We hung in there and gave ourselves a chance, but in their second innings, with the partnership that they managed to get with the bat, we knew that things were going to be a real challenge trying to bat last, and all three results were still at play. Having said that, the quality of their bowling attack meant that there had to be a lot of hard work to give ourselves a chance, and we fought hard and showed a lot of heart to bat through the day.
So there it is, the skippers, the Indian skipper, Ajinkya Rahane and Kane Williamson. Cricket Buzz writer is Bharat Sundaresan, and he has been kind enough to join us to talk about a few forms of cricket. We'll get on to the Ashes shortly. But, gee, what a test match it was, Bharat. It was incredible viewing. I didn't watch all 5 days, but I certainly watched the last couple of hours yesterday. It was, you couldn't take your eyes off the screen.
Absolutely. And like both captains said, Tim, it was a brilliant game of cricket. But Before we get to the cricket itself, how good was it to hear the noise of the crowd in the background, especially because, it's test cricket in India. And I know we're not completely back to normal, as we found out in the last couple of days, but it's a sign that the world is almost there. And I think the pitch did come in for some criticism early on because they said it's too slow, run scoring's not easy, wicket taking's not easy. But it's generally pitches like this, or like these, which create these kind of thrillers. And it could have gone either way. At one point, New Zealand, you thought, might have, pressed the accelerator a little bit and given themselves a chance. But, that there's a challenge of, batting out day five in India, which is, I don't think you can compare anything else to that. So kudos to them for just hanging in there and drawing it.
Did you think that you talked about it with New Zealand? I watched it early, and they had the night watchman in, of course, and they had Latham and Somerville in. And they got to the lunch session, and I thought to myself, you know what, they're going to put their foot down really quickly then and really just try and get ahead of the curve. They never really got ahead of the curve. They almost dug themselves into a hole, and it certainly gave the momentum back to India.
Yeah, and it wasn't even, when we talk about pressing the accelerator, it doesn't mean you want to start jumping out to the spinners and try to like hit them over the top. But just in the second half of that second session, Tim, they just went into that shell that you speak about where they weren't even looking for singles. It was just a survival. And, batting in India when you're surrounded by a lot of those fielders and a lot of noise, and not just from the crowd, but from those guys around you, can push you into that almost a level of cynicism with the bat, where you just feel like, that ball has my name on it. Just ask English batters. They always seem to go there with that mindset. But I thought they could have been slightly more positive and almost finished this game in a more dominant fashion, even if they didn't get close to chasing it down.
And Ravindra and Patel survived. Of course, Ravindra faced 91 balls for his 18 not and 23 balls for Patel. Did you think in those closing overs it was darker? It looked like it was going to get called off early, and then the sun came back out again. Did you think watching it that India would get the last wicket, would get the victory?
What told me they might not is the fact that those two Kiwi batters never created a fuss. I mean, even though there were times when it felt like the light meter had shown them readings where they had to go off, I thought they never shirked it off. And every time the umpire said you have to go back to bat, they just did it. So it showed you that they wanted to be out there and showing that confidence. And what a story Rachin Ravindra is as well, right? It's named after Sachin Tendulkar and Rahul Dravid by his father, who grew up in Bangalore. And to come back, make your debut on, basically your motherland, and to save a test in that fashion, it was quite cool. And as social media would tell you, Ravindra and Patel survived Ravindra and Patel to save the test.
Very strange, as it turns out. So no Virat Kohli. When he's not there, how weakened are India? I mean, I know Rahane, as he mentioned there in his grab just moments ago, he did his best and, you know, they were one wicket away from pulling off victory, so close but so far. But is when he's not there, Kohli, they just seem to lack that killer. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes and no, Tim. I mean, Rahane did, lead India to victory in Australia after Virat Kohli left and 36 all out. So, Rahane's aggression is of a very different kind. It's more quiet, if that makes sense. But
it's a measured aggression, isn't it? It's a measured aggression.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what else do you expect from a karate black belt, which is what he was, before he got into cricket. But with Virat, if he was out there, you would have seen a lot more aggression. He would have tried to get the crowd into it. But having said that, New Zealand is one team that Virat Kohli struggled against in terms of bringing that energy, because they don't give anything to feed off. Against Australia and England, there will be a couple of characters who will feed into that Virat Kohli, aggression and give it back to him and rile him up. But like it happened in England in that test when he said, we'll go out there and give them hell and all that. But doesn't happen against New Zealand, because Kane Williamson and his team, say it is what it is and move on. So it would have been an interesting aspect of cricket if he was there. Now on to Mumbai. I feel weird saying that, because that will be the first test they play in Mumbai since I moved out of India. So I'm feeling a little homesick of sorts.
What sort of wicket will we see over there? And do you forecast any possible changes to either of these lineups, the Kiwis or India?
Oh, I'm sure Neil Wagner comes back to Tim, because the Wankhede does provide you with more bounce than most other venues in India. It's more red soil, so the ball will turn as well. So it depends what Rahul Dravid, what kind of chat he has with the curators in Mumbai, what kind of pitch they want. Generally, it's exciting cricket in Mumbai. Not often that do test matches go all 5 days, I must say that. But it'll be a faster moving game for sure. And like I said, Neil Wagner will come back. India, I do doubt, will tinker with their bowling attack. But, the big debate is when Virat Kohli comes back, who sits out? I think it'll depend a lot on Ridhiman Zaha's fitness. And maybe finally we'll get to see that name, S. Bharat. It won't be me, but it'll be an S. Bharat, don a test cap for India. That'll be great, because he does keep an open. So if he does open, then Virat Kohli just slots in and they don't have to drop one of Pujara or Rahane, because their heads are almost under in the line as we speak.
Now, I should know this, but where's Rishabh Pant?
Also, it's the smartest thing India have done in a long time is give Rishabh Pant and Rohit Sharma a break, just like Virat Kohli took a break from the first test as well. Because it's been pretty incredible what the team has done in terms of bubble travel, because they've been on the road since May when they left for England. And I think they just needed a break, because amazingly, the day after the Mumbai test ends, they all get on a flight and go to South Africa. Or as it stands now, we'll see whether that tour does go ahead. So I think they just decided, and even a couple of other players were sent on an India A tour, Harima Vihari, who we saw play test cricket here, because they are really focused on that South Africa tour as well.
No doubt. It looks like Pakistan will get Bangladesh, and Sri Lanka and the West Indies was a slow start on that first day of the second test there at Gaul.
Yeah, I mean, Gaul's seen so much rain. The only good thing about the rain in Sri Lanka is to see their ground staff do... that should be an art form in itself. We should have this competition where, Sri Lanka will be world champions anytime. But Pakistan, Bangladesh, some new names popping up for Pakistan, and a couple of their guys, Shaheen Shafridi and Hassan Ali, making up for a sad finish to their World Cup campaign, courtesy Matthew Wade.
Yeah, correct. And Pakistan netting just 93 to win. I want to turn your attention to local. If you were a selector, Bharat, give me who you believe would be the keeper in the first test for Australia. There's been a lot of debate over the last day or two. We're just moments away from it being announced. Who would you pick from what you've seen and their preparations leading into a first test, a first Ashes test up there at the Gabba?
Well, sitting here on a very sunny, beautiful morning in Adelaide, I have to say Alex Carey, Tim. I have no other option. I think It's very similar to Pat Cummins being named captain. I mean, he's been the second in line to Tim Payne as wicketkeeper for the last 2.5 years. Alex Carey, if you remember, even came and kept for Australia in one of the warm-up games during the last Ashes practice game. So I think Alex Carey should fit in. And, you know, he has the international experience, has been vice captain of that one-day side. And though he hasn't really been flash in the Shield season, I don't think those numbers would really go against him. So Alex Carey definitely starts the Ashes, but it is the Ashes series. So who knows how things will pan out as things go on. But for sure, Alex Carey at 30 deserves that test call-up.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, you know, and I know there's that age difference of several years, but 30's not old to be in that team. And if he makes a good fist of it, Inglis then could be on a 3-year, 4-year waiting pattern, and then he's got to stay in the game, so to speak, and stay focused and stay enthusiastic and think that he might be the next one, and then there's another young keeper. The cycle of keepers is an interesting one over the journey, and if whoever gets in, it's got a massive leg up going forward.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the only thing that never changed in cricket, right? Only one wicketkeeper can play. Technically, I mean, unless you are... You can get in as a batter. We've seen some other teams play with 3 or 4 wicketkeepers these days in Test cricket. But also that's a sign of how good keepers have become as batters since that Adam Gilchrist generation, as we all know now. So I think Inglis at the moment has as good a chance to get in there as Alex Carey. I mean, he's been with the team. He is a World Cup champion as well. So Justin Langer knows. And I remember Justin Langer, I think, doing some work with him back when they had just come back from their tours, I'm pretty sure then. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, once they get in, the other person just has to wait his turn and maybe do a few Ashes tours like we've seen both Brad Haddin do before he got his eye in, and Alex Carey doing the same. And Jimmy Pearson, don't forget him. You know, the way he's kept and the way he's batted, he's not too far from entering that mix either.
Yeah, well, I hope he doesn't, because I've just done my KFC Big Bash Supercoach team and I've got him as my mainstay, thinking that he won't get the call up. Last one for you, just in regards to, well, it looks now almost certain, at least it's down to about a 25% chance that the Test match will be played over in Perth, the fifth Test. If it has to find another home, and you've got to take your Adelaide bias out of it, where do you think the extra test should be played? There's a push for Tassie, but I just have a feeling that Tassie probably didn't help their cause with their tongue-lashing they gave Cricket Australia in regards to the Tim Payne handling. Melbourne, they probably deserve it. It is the home of cricket. It is the MCG, and they've been starved of sport at that level. Or do you think it should end up in Sydney or Brisbane? Which way do you think it will go?
I mean, clearly you've taken my option out away from my hands, Tim.
It's not going to be Adelaide. You're lucky to get one test, let alone two.
I remember the excitement around Adelaide last year when there was some talk that the Boxing Day test might come here. And then,
but
I think people gave up on that 2 days into that news break. But no, I think, yeah, people realized it wasn't coming. But I think I'm with you there. Melbourne ahead of Sydney for me. The only thing that would have gone against Melbourne a couple of years earlier would have been the pitch. But I think it played pretty well during the test we saw last year against India. It's definitely improving summer after summer. And the one against New Zealand as well. So, day-night, MCG, it's the perfect setup, right, for the final test. Just hopefully the Ashes is still alive. When we get into that, it'll just be fantastic. I mean, and I don't think players are too... against, like, you know, playing pink ball tests anymore. So there are players from both sides who love playing with the pink ball. So I don't think that will be a problem. So I think that's how it'll end up, day-nighter at MCG.
I hope the Ashes isn't alive. I hope it's 4-0 by the time the fifth test comes around. Couldn't give a rat's toss bag whether England's in it or not. Hey, mate, appreciate your time. There's plenty to play out. But that test match, just in summary, that New Zealand-India test match, that drawn test at Kanpur, that is what, for me, makes Test cricket what it is. It was so intriguing, wasn't it? It was just, if you're a cricket aficionado, that was the absolute pee of a game.
Absolutely. And, you know, go back to Sydney and the way Ashwin and Vihari saved that Test match. There's just something about saving a Test that I think doesn't get its due, because that's pretty much what you play for. It is a game of survival. And I think that's what New Zealand did yesterday. And that's why I count the draw as a result. It's not a case of, oh, neither team winning. It's a proper, genuine result. And yeah, it's a Yeah, it's a show of human strength and character, like the Kiwis did yesterday.
Great to chat with you again, as always. Thanks for giving up your time to chat with us on Mornings for Red Energy.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
He's a very good man. He knows his cricket. He knows his cricket. He's not just an Indian aficionado. He knows it all. Bharat Sundaresan from Crick Buzz Rider as well. He's got plenty to say.